Good morning, friend. I hope you are waking up and getting ready to have an amazing day. It's a beautiful Saturday, 5 June 2021, here on the river in Nebraska. The sun is just starting to show itself over the horizon out there, and it's been just a gorgeous morning so far looking out the window while I'm getting ready to talk to my friend here for a few minutes. I am so excited for a couple of announcements. We just hit the 200,000 download mark for the podcast, which is really amazing to me. It took from 2014 to 2020 to get to 100,000. Of course, I was intermittently podcasting and we had a lot going on, moved twice during that time, actually. And so the first 100,000 downloads were hard fought and took a long time. And then we've had 100,000 downloads in less than 9 months. Since the 100,000 download mark. So we're just past 200,000, and I'm just so grateful to be able to have these couple times a week conversations with you, and that it's been helpful to you, because it's certainly helpful to me and Lisa to be able to just talk about hard stuff and share things that I've learned from neuroscience and practice and how we tie those things to our faith and talk about our doubts and all of that. And we talk a lot about prayer on the show, and today I'm really, really excited to bring you a special guest. I'll introduce him in a minute, but I've told you recently that there's a book that has been super impactful to me recently, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, Discovering the Grace of Lament by Mark Vrogup. Now, this was the 2020 Christian Book of the Year, not just a category winner, but Christian Book of the Year. And I discovered it because when my book was awarded the Biography and Memoir of the Year, I went back and looked to see other people who had won awards and just had kind of clued into that whole thing. And I saw last year's Book of the Year, and the title grabbed me, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, Discovering the Grace of Lament. And so I downloaded it and started reading it, and it just turns out to be an incredibly powerful and important book. And I want you to stick around to the very end of this episode, because we're going to give away a couple of Mark's books to people who find value from this episode. So stick around. I'll give you the details on how you can get one of those two free copies of the book that we're going to give away that were kindly given to us by the people at Crossway, his publicist, Lauren Susanto, and Mark, willing to share that with us. So I'm so grateful for that. So stick around to the end. I'll tell you the details on how you might be able to achieve one of those two free copies. But this is a book that is a game changer, because I've told you so many times that hope is a verb. It's an action word. It's something you do. Actions lead and feelings follow. And if you want to feel hope, you've got to do something sometimes to start lighting that match so you can see the light again when things are hard. And we've talked extensively about different ways to pray. I've given you models like the Acts model, you know how you can put some frames around the way that you pray. Yesterday, I had a conversation with Noah Williams, who's the young man that's been dating our daughter, Kaylin, for a while. We're watching you, Noah. I'm just kidding. So Noah and Kaylin have been intermittently dating since high school, and he's a really fine young man. But we had a good conversation on the phone yesterday. He called to tell us about a friend of his who'd had a bad car accident, has a significant brain injury. And the young man's name is Alec. He's in the hospital in Georgia. And if you would just pray for Alec, join with us in praying for him, Alec, that he would completely recover. Alec is a classically trained musician, and he's now got a significant head injury. And we're getting some good news and some positive reports, but he's got a serious challenge ahead of him. And Noah called to just talk about that. And Noah and I talked about the fact that both of us were raised in church traditions where we didn't have a lot of formality. There wasn't a lot of liturgy or formal repetitious prayers or books of prayer or learning to read other people's prayer models and those kinds of things. It was more just tell God what's on your heart, which is great. It's a great way to pray. But sometimes life hits you so hard that you don't have words. You don't know what to say to God. You don't know what to pray. You don't even know how to pray. Sometimes you don't even know if you want to pray. And that's what happened to me and Lisa after we lost Mitch back in 2013. Life hit us so hard. We were so wounded that we just didn't know what to do. And of course, I've shared my journey of how I found Jeremiah and Lamentations, and all those times in the Psalms where people were openly doubting and willing to tell God what's going on with them. And the guy who came to Jesus and said, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. And I wrote a lot about that in my book. I've seen the interview. But I didn't understand what that was until I read Mark Rogup's book, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. And so today we're gonna just learn a new prayer model. I've given you some. The famous one is Acts model, where you adore God. You don't just come and tell him all the stuff you want all the time. It's not repent and ask for stuff, right? it's not just forgive and please give. It's adore him. Tell him how much you love him. Confess the things that are going on in your life that you need to change, and then thank him for all the amazing things that he's done, including forgiving you and saving you and being there for you, and then finally ask him for the things that you need, right? So start with love, adoration, confession, thanksgiving before you get to the supplication stuff. Hey, give me the things that I think I need, right? So that model kind of reframes your thinking from asking God for things to getting your heart in line with his, and then asking him for what he wants you to have. And that's a great model. But when you're in a lot of pain, it's not the right model. And there's a language that formal people call the language of lament. I wasn't smart enough to know what that was for a while. But Mark's book kind of puts the flesh on those bones and gives us a different kind of model to learn how to pray when we're really hurting. Mark defines lament like this.
Lament is the language of sorrow in the Bible. I define it in the book as a prayer in pain that leads to trust. It doesn't reconcile trust and trauma. It just holds them in parallel, that you can still trust and call to mind the goodness of God even while you're dealing with very difficult circumstances.
And so we've got Pastor Mark Rogup with us today. And before we get started, Pastor, would you just pray for us?
Lord Jesus, we thank you that you reign supreme over all things. There's no blessing, there's no bruising that doesn't have the imprint of your good purposes in the middle of it. And Lord, sometimes it's hard to believe that. And I thank you that hardship and difficulties remind us of our need to trust in you, and that you've promised to give us grace for everything we face. And so use this conversation today to be a blessing to people, no matter what stage of pain or difficulty or joy or happiness that they're in. Lord, use this talk today to be an encouragement and a help to them. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Mark. Hey, friend, we're going to learn how to rehearse truth to find hope with Pastor Mark Rogup. We're going to learn how to rehearse truth to find hope, and we're going to start today. Hey, I'm so glad to have you listening. I'm Dr. Lee Warren. I'm watching the sunrise over the North Platte River in Nebraska in the United States of America with my unbelievably brilliant, beautiful, and godly wife, Lisa Warren, and the super pups, Harvey and Lewis, who are wandering around on the riverbank right now. I'm a neurosurgeon and an author, and I'm here to help you harness neuroscience, the power of your brain, faith, the power of your spirit, and good old common sense to help you lead a healthier, better, happier life. Listen, friend, you can't change your life until you change your mind, and I'm here to help you learn the art of self-brain surgery. To get that done, you can get the show notes and more on my website at wleewarrenmd.com, and if you like the show, please sign up for the newsletter, wleewarrenmd.com/newsletter. Every Sunday since 2014, I've been bringing you my best prescriptions for how you can change your life by changing your mind. Please share the show with your friends if you like it, if it's helpful to you. We got Pastor Mark Rogup in the show with us today via Zoom. I'm Dr. Lee Warren, helping you change your mind so you can change your life. Let's get after it. Well, friend, welcome back. I'm really excited to have the author of a book that has really made a difference in my life in the last few months. Mark Rogup is here with us today. Mark, thank you for coming on to the show.
Lee, thanks for having me on. I'm really grateful to have a conversation with you today.
It's really a conversation I've been looking forward to, and we connected through Twitter, and I'm just really grateful that you said yes and for the little bit of time that we'll have together today. I know it's going to bless a lot of people. Mark, you wrote a book about the practice of praying lament, and so I grew up in a kind of a fundamentalist tradition that I've grown through and out of, but we didn't have the language like that. A liturgical kind of language of calling something lament. And I didn't know what that meant. until I lived it. And, you know, when we lost a son a few years ago, I found Jeremiah and Lamentations and figured out that God says it's okay to gripe at him, and it's okay to be mad and doubt and all those things. And so it turns out there's a formal way that people describe that. And so just tell us a little bit, if you don't mind, about what lament is, and then we'll talk about your story and how you came to it, if you don't mind.
Lee, your story is so familiar, and it's not unlike mine and so many other people's that I have talked with. You know, most people don't set out to study lament. Lament finds them. And if there's one thing that I've discovered in writing this book on lament, is that people begin to look back on their life. And the thing that I've heard more than anything else is you've just described or explained what's been going on in my life the last couple of years. And so lament is the language of sorrow in the Bible. I define it in the book as a prayer in pain that leads to trust. It's one of the most precious forms of Christian prayer and even Christian worship. One out of every three psalms is a lament psalm, whether it's a personal lament, I'm mourning my own loss, corporate lament, or a community of people who are mourning their loss, repentant lament, where I'm mourning the effects of sin, or imprecatory, justice-oriented lament, where I'm wrestling with something that seems unfair in the culture or that's happened to me. You know, the Bible, this is all kinds of laments. It's not just Psalms. It's the Book of Lamentations, Jeremiah, portions of Hosea. I mean, even Jesus.
Jonah,
Jesus hangs on the cross, and my God, why have you forsaken me? He quotes Psalm 22. It's a lament psalm. So this prayer form is needed when God's people are wrestling with what in the world is God doing. And that's why I think I found it to be really helpful, because more often than not, Christians are wrestling with what God is doing. Most of them just don't know it's okay. And that's what lament does to help us with.
That's right. Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, by the way, is the book. I've been pushing it to my listeners for months now, but so they've all heard me talk about this book. But so you describe it as when we're going through something hard, it can make us forget how faithful God has been in the past, and it can make us sort of focus on our own the problem that we're facing in the moment. And so how does lament help us sort of zoom out of that sort of personalization of pain?
Well, what lament does is it gives us a structure to deal with our pain. So most laments have four key elements, where we turn to God, we lay out our complaints, we ask boldly, and we choose to trust. And those elements are really critical because they help us to know what to do with the sorrow and the pain that we feel. And so many Christians that I've encountered kind of live in one of two ditches, either the ditch of denial. They go to church, they're really hurting, people ask them how they're doing, and they're like, oh, everything's fine, praise the Lord. And inside, they're really, really struggling. But they think real Christians don't struggle. So that's one ditch, the ditch of denial. The other ditch is the ditch of despair, where people in their wrestling feel like, oh, I must not be a Christian if I have this level of doubt. I must not be a Christian if I have these deep questions. And yet, lament is the kind of language to say those questions are okay to have. The issue is, what do we do with them, and how do those questions turn us back to embracing our confidence in who God is? And lament is process language designed to help us move from where we are in our pain to what we know that we need to believe, but in the moment, it is really difficult to get there. So some people would say, well, doesn't the Bible say rejoice always, or in all circumstances rejoice? Absolutely. There's no question that Christians should rejoice. The issue is, how do you get there when the bottom has fallen out, or when pain has just keeps coming at you over and over and over? To tell that person, brother, sister, just be happy in the Lord, is not only not helpful practically, it actually can be destructive to their understanding of what true biblical Christianity is. Lament enters the picture and says, I know you're hurting. Here's how you can talk to God so you can choose to keep trusting him.
That's right. You know, there's great comfort I found in understanding over time that all of God's promises are true. But there's also great wisdom when your friend is hurting and not reminding him of some of those promises right in the moment. Like, you don't want to come at somebody whose child just died with Romans 8:28, right? So it's going to be okay, and then something good's going to come out. You got to have a little wisdom and when you apply those things. So I think learning this structured type of prayer has been very helpful to me, just understanding that Christians have been going through their, God's people have been going through the process of talking to him about their pain, and he says it's okay. Because like you said a while ago, like we're taught, or we pick up maybe from the church, clues that we're not supposed to tell God that it's not okay sometimes, that we're not supposed to feel that way. So how did you come to this? Now you're a pastor. So how did you come to this deep understanding of how powerful lament prayer can be? Was it just being a great pastor, or did something happen in your life that put you there?
Sadly, it wasn't because of my training in pastoral ministry or my experience in pastoral ministry that helped me to understand this category. It was a personal tragedy in our family, and as a result, it kind of tuned my ear to this minor key song. And at the time, I didn't even know that I was lamenting. I didn't even know what I was doing. And then later on, found a category. And as I look back, I was like, oh, this is what was going on. And it was connected to the stillbirth of our daughter, Sylvia, in 2004, excuse me. So we have twin boys who are 25, another son who's 21. I mean, we had healthy, uneventful pregnancies. I mean, even had twins. My wife took our unborn sons all the way to 39 and a half weeks. I mean, they were 6 pounds, 9 ounces, 6 pounds, 11 ounces, came home 3 days later. So for us, it wasn't hard getting pregnant. Pregnancy was generally easy. And then a few days before delivery, for some reason, our unborn daughter, who weighed 9 pounds, died in the womb. And so wrestling with the difficulties of that loss and all of the contours and layers of grief really changed in a very practical way how I looked at sorrow, difficulties, how I was pastoring people, how I read the Bible. It just fundamentally changed how I saw life. Mm-hmm. And then over the course of time, doing some teaching on the Psalms, walking through the Book of Lamentations, as I began to put some more structure to these kind of concepts, I began to realize, oh my word, what's happening here is the matter of lament. And every time that I would teach on this in some form, someone would say, you know, or invariably somebody would say, hey, do you have some additional teaching on this? Because I really like to explore this. And after a while, I just got tired of saying, I'm sorry, I don't have anything. And I thought, maybe it would be helpful if I put together some of my thoughts, collected them into a book. And that's what then became Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, Discovering the Grace of Lament.
Wow, and that's the Romans 8:28 end point for this, is something terrible happened in your life, and God has used it to bless thousands or millions or however many people with that message. And I can tell you, it was so helpful to me, you know, here 8 years after my son's passed away, and I've processed it, and I've written about it, published books about it, and all those things. But I never had the right word to understand the process that we went through. And that was it. It was lament. And your book really did that for me. So, friend, if you're listening, obviously, because you're hearing me say this, but if you're looking for a book that will put some guardrails and some practices around how you can proceed when you're hurting and let God minister to you, this is that book. It will help you unlock some pain and process it in a healthy way and start to see God's promises through it. And it just, Mark, you just did a tremendous job. And I know the Holy Spirit was guiding you writing that book. And I'm so grateful for that you did it and that you followed that leading. So thank you again. I have
Lee, just before we move on, I want you to know, man, that's why I wrote the book. People like you, like me, wrestling through the fog of dark clouds, thinking, how in the world am I going to make it? Or what has been going on? And it was helpful to me. It's been helpful to others just to have this prayer language that, quite frankly, I think is liberating. Some people hear lament and they think, oh, it's some dark, dreary language, and it isn't. It's railroad tracks along which you push your pain for the purpose of embracing God's goodness in the end. And so I hope it'll continue to help people, because that was the goal.
It does do that thing. It really does. And I heard you give a sermon to a bunch of pastors. So I was kind of stalking you, decided if I was going to invite you on the show. I go out on the internet and see what people talk about, and, you know, kind of get to know them before I reach out to them. You talked to a bunch of pastors about the different kinds of things that can bring pain inside the church to church leaders, and lament works for that too. Like, it's amazing how broadly applied this can be and be helpful. So you've really opened my eyes to a whole bunch of new thought processes that are helpful, and I'm grateful for that. But I think every book, I think God gives us a sentence or two that really stick with readers. And for me, in your book, that was this sentence that hope springs from truth rehearsed. Hope springs from truth rehearsed. Just unpack that for us for a minute.
Yeah, it comes out of the Book of Lamentations in particular, chapter 3. You know, we all know that signature text, you know, the Lord's the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, his mercies never come to an end. But before the prophet Jeremiah gets to that particular statement, he's wrestling with the significance of the loss that he has dealt with, and even basically says there's no hope, like things are really bad. And then in the same chapter, in chapter 3, which is kind of the apex of the book, think of like a mountaintop, reach the summit, you come back down. In the first part of chapter 3, he's super hopeless. And the back half of chapter 3, he's pretty hopeful. And the turning point is in Lamentations chapter 3, where he says, this is verses 19 through 21, "Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me." So that's a really dark statement. And then he says this, and every lament has this turning point, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases." Yep. So what lament does, in particular what Jeremiah does in this context in Lamentations 3, is he says, my affliction and my wandering is real, but I will call to mind what I know is true. And what lament does is it doesn't reconcile trust and trauma. It just holds them in parallel. That you can still trust and call to mind the goodness of God even while you're dealing with very difficult circumstances. And I think a lot of Christians think it's an either or. I'm either hurting or I'm trusting. And lament says, no, you're hurting and you're trusting. So hope springs from truth rehearsed is, as we rehearse the truth, that's where hope comes. So hope doesn't come from a change of circumstance. Hope doesn't even come from an immediate change of feeling. Hope comes from, these are the truths that I believe, and I'm going to believe in, and I'm going to keep believing them even while I'm feeling like they might not even be true. Yeah. And that's the essence of I think, biblical faith. You know, it's the man in the New Testament that says, I believe, help my unbelief. Yeah. You know, none of us believe 100%. And that's what pain does. It surfaces this very difficult gap in our spiritual lives where our emotions and our truth don't always line up 100% all the time. And lament enters that space and basically says, that's okay. Keep rehearsing the truth, because that's where hope comes from.
That's right. So people who have been listening to my show for a while, they've heard me. I've done a couple of episodes about how hope is a verb. It's an action word, and it requires that thing, taking, you know, take hope, set your mind on these things. There's always these action words around it. And so I'm a brain surgeon, right? So I always like to try to tie things to neuroscience in some way. And there's a saying in neuroscience that I'm going to screw it up. Neurons that fire together wire together. So in other words, the more times we say something or call on a truth or rehearse it or repeat it, the more likely we are to make synapses in our brain that will make it easier to fall into that state later. And it's much easier on the negative side. The more you catastrophize, negative things wire about 5 times more easily in your brain than positive things do. So you don't have to touch the hot stove 5 times to remember that it's going to hurt you, right? But when you rehearse God's truth, when you go through those prayers, when you do those things, it becomes something that becomes more and more easy and more automatic. And so I love that hope springs from truth rehearsed, because that's making new synapses for our brains to honor God in that way and to become more positive and hopeful. So you are currently just released a second book. Talk a minute about your new book.
Yeah, it's entitled Weep With Me, How Lament Opens a Door for Racial Reconciliation. It released last summer, and it was an attempt on my part to explain how lament doesn't solve all the problems, but can actually be a helpful tool in the very complicated and painful conversations related to racial reconciliation. It walks through how lament could serve a majority culture Christian, or let's just say white Christians, and how lament can serve our minority brothers and sisters, especially our Black brothers and sisters. It's something that I discovered as we began taking civil rights vision trips. What we do is once a year load up 50 leaders on a bus, and we go to Birmingham and Montgomery and Selma and Memphis, and we just enter into the space of American history. And in the course of that time, spend time together just talking about our different perspectives on our experiences in life. And what we do every morning on that trip is we read a lament psalm, we analyze it, and then write our own laments in light of the experience of the previous day. And, you know, it's remarkable when you get Christians talking to God about the brokenness of the world, especially the brokenness of racism or ethnic prejudice, when you get them talking that direction, it actually helps them to talk to one another in a, I think, more productive and helpful way. It gives voice for our Black brothers and sisters who oftentimes don't feel listened to. They feel like an exile. They feel like people have minimized their pain. It gives white brothers and sisters a language to listen and also to express their own lament of, God, what do I do with this? And how do I think about moving toward my brother and sister who may not look like me, with all of the fears and the challenges connected to that? And so that's, I've just seen lament tip people towards each other when the conversation really tends to tip people away from each other. Now, you know, when I released it in 2020, I think the degree of tipping away from one another was significant. Although I will tell you now, the dynamics that are in play, the degree to which people are tipping away from each other has magnified about 3 to 4-fold. Yeah. So it's a helpful tool, doesn't solve all the problems, has limitations, but I found it to be particularly helpful when Christians want to engage in this conversation. Lament can be a helpful starting point.
And I think the church really should be invested in bringing people together more so than government. I mean, you can mandate things, but the church can help, the Lord can heal things. So I appreciate you applying that tool and trying to bring us together. You know, in your book, In Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, you gave several really tangible examples of how in your church you've used group sort of lament settings to help people work through different problems. Just talk about, give us one example of how you've done that, so maybe we can bring that to our churches and start to use this tool.
Yeah, so one example would be, we have a staff prayer summit where we're spending a half day of prayer together. And one of the exercises that we do about 3/4 of the way through that prayer summit is to put a chair in the middle of the room with about 50 to 60 staff, and then have a person go to that chair and then offer a heartfelt prayer. It's remarkable when people sit in that chair, most of the time they're lamenting. They may not even have a category for it, but sometimes we even say this is the lament chair. And we've had people sit in that chair and lament infertility, lament disappointment with their marital status, lament the challenges related to health issues. And there's just something really helpful about first talking to God about what's wrong, And then secondly, about having other believers come around you and pray over you as you've just poured your heart out to the Lord. So there's something beautiful about both of those expressions. And, you know, we've seen God answer some prayers, and we've seen him certainly use those prayers to minister grace to hurting people.
Wow, that's really wonderful how you kind of give people some tangible ways that they can follow this biblical model. And it did surprise me to hear. I probably knew it, but I never really thought about how a third of the Psalms, so the Christian songbook, right, is lament. And you talk about it being the song, a prayer in a minor key. And you made a point that I'd never heard anybody make before about why aren't worship leaders writing lament songs? Like, why isn't the church doing this? We don't have to be happy all the time. And that's ironic for me to say, because my whole message is about how Christ came and wants to give us abundant life, and he wants us to be happy. But you have to understand happiness in the context of the hard life too. So talk about that for a second. How could worship leaders and musicians help us with this notion of learning to lament?
Well, what's interesting, Lee, is that I think we need to identify some different categories, because when I think of the typical 21st century evangelical church and the songs that we sing, I think we would just have to acknowledge that they're lament light. So if you were to do a study of the dominant Christian songs that most churches sing, I looked at this back in, I think it was 2017, and based upon the CCLI licensure, how often those songs are used in churches, it was below 3% of the songs. And part of the reason for that is that we have an understanding of Christianity in the Western United States culture of triumphalism. That's meaning, right. And it's part of what I love about our country, what I love about our culture, is there's just this perpetual spirit of optimism. Yeah. Well, that's wonderful at one level, but it's not complete, because there are situations that don't get better. There are places around the world where recessions don't go away. There are people whose marriages don't get fixed. There are health issues that there's no medical answer for. Every day, people die, and there's really bad stuff that happens. So the challenge is I think that every Christian's going to live with that, and if there's no intersection from their life and what their church sings, then there can be this sense of, well, this must, what I'm wrestling with here in my grief must not be what it really means to be a true follower of Jesus. Now, since I wrote the book, there's been a renewed interest in lament, interestingly enough. Mm-hmm. And some songwriters have actually taken on this challenge and have done done a pretty good job. Even our own musicians wrote a series of original songs to try and capture this. And so I think the global pandemic and COVID and everything else that's happened in our society has also kind of made us realize, well, you know what, we need to be more okay with this minor key song than what we would maybe realize. And here's the other thing, and I explore this in my second book, Weep With Me. You know, if you want to find lament in singing in American history, you can find it, but you have to go to African-American spirituals.
Yeah.
And it's just really interesting how a suffering, oppressed people under the difficulty of slavery, and even in the context of Jim Crow and the civil rights era, songs were written because they needed to do something with their pain. And so they lamented. And it's just interesting to me that for many of us, we're just unaccustomed with unrelenting sorrow. And as a result, when it happens, we don't know what to say. We don't know what to sing. We don't know what to pray. And that's where I think lament is uniquely helpful.
Wow, that's a great point. And I guess the last thing, before I told you about half an hour, I'll honor your time today, but the last thing, you referenced a PhD dissertation that somebody wrote. I can't think of her name right now, but she used a phrase called, that she said, non-active waiting. And you changed that to non-passive waiting.
Right.
And you changed that to active waiting. And so just unpack that for a second for me. It's a really important point.
So that term is actually active patience. Yeah. And there's a difference between patience and waiting. So I can wait and not be patient. But patience involves waiting of some kind. And so active patience means that when I'm being patient, it is something that I'm doing. Most of us think that patience is the default. It's the thing that we have to do when we can't do anything else. Or we think that patience is me not doing something while I'm just kind of in this moment where I'm not able to move forward. And yet the idea of active patience means God works for those who wait for him. And I think for many of us, we need to embrace the thought that waiting is not a waste and that God is at work. And in some cases, some of us may need to wait more and be more patient in an active sense because we tend to rely too much on our own ingenuity, our capacity to move things forward. And waiting and patience is a way that I say, you know, I'm going to trust that God can work while I wait.
Wow, that's so helpful. And so, you know, as we wrap up here, I'm really grateful for your time and for your work. And I think the Holy Spirit has given the kingdom a great gift through this book. And I'm going to do everything I can to make sure lots of people find out about it more. And congratulations, the 2020 Christian Book of the Year was Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. So congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you.
Last thing is, do you have any just kind of parting words, Mark, for somebody out there hurting right now who might not know sort of what the next step needs to be? Just minister to us for a second as a pastor.
Yeah, I think when someone's hurting, when I'm hurting, my tendency is to give God the silent treatment, whether it's because it's just so painful, it's hard to pray, whether I don't know what to say, or maybe it's because I'm so frustrated with these circumstances, maybe even sinfully angry with God because I don't feel like he's treating me fairly. And as a result, I just shut my prayer life down. I shut my Bible reading down. And what lament does, just take Psalm 13. The psalmist says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take comfort in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all day long? You know, sometimes the best thing that you can do when you're in suffering and difficulties is just read a lament psalm. Know that God put that language in the Bible to give you words to say when you don't know what to say. But whatever you do, don't give God the silent treatment. Don't slide into this pattern where you're so frustrated or so hurting or so discouraged that you just cut yourself off from the very supply of grace that God wants to give. And lament can be a starting point where you start talking to God again and by faith trust him for what he will provide. And in that way, lament becomes a great help for discovering the grace of God.
Beautiful. And give us just you gave a great little four-letter summary people can remember easily about how do you pray through a lament prayer? How do you set it up?
Yeah, you turn to God. You just say, in my pain, I'm not going to give God the silent treatment. I am going to talk to him. So I turn, complain. I lay out what's wrong in stark terms. So it means that I acknowledge, God, you're good. This isn't. It's hard. It doesn't mean that I demand that God change my circumstance, but it does mean that I say to God, this is very difficult. And you can find all kinds of very blunt language in the Psalms where a person lays out their complaint. Then ask boldly, take the promises of the Bible, apply them to your life, pray those promises in, and then finally choose to trust. Laments end with a reaffirmation of a trust in God's goodness, a recommitment, if you will, to keep clinging to him, or as I say in the book, to keep trusting the one who keeps us trusting. And that's what lament does. It moves us turn, complain, ask, and trust. And it moves us from where we are to where we need to be as God helps us.
Pastor, your words are going to bless a lot of folks today. I appreciate your time. And God bless you in your endeavors and in your church and your family. And thank you for your time today.
Well, Lee, thank you. And God bless you in your work. And excited to see how the Lord's going to use you in your writing.
Thank you. Wow, that was just such a great talk, and I'm so grateful that Mark was with us today. I can't express, friend, how important this book has been. It's added so much depth and value to my own prayer life, and it's really given me some understanding of where the Lord took us when we were devastated after losing Mitch and didn't even have the words to pray. I've been writing my new book, and in the course of writing that, Mark's book has come alongside and given me some tools to help you, and even helped me write more thoroughly about how to do the things that we did to find our way back. And so the words in this book are important, and I would highly encourage you to read it, so much so that we're going to give away a couple of copies of Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. Mark's very kind publicist, Lauren Susanto at Crossway, has offered to send a couple of books on our behalf to listeners who listen and feel like they would be blessed by Mark's book, and I'm telling you, you would be blessed by it. So the first two people that email me, lee@drleewarren.com, or if you follow me on Twitter, Dr. Lee Warren, DrLeeWarren, and request the book from Twitter. So the first two people that either request the book from Twitter or send me an email, I'm going to have Lauren and Mark send you a copy of Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, and it will bless you. But if you don't get one of the free copies, go wherever books are sold, support your local booksellers, or use Amazon or christianbook.com, but go somewhere and get this book, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. I'm telling you, friend, it will help. It's a game changer in your prayer life, and it will help your heart. You know, I was very fortunate that I had a good friend, Philip Yancey, who, when I was really lost after losing Mitch, he sent me a copy of his book, The Question That Never Goes Away, and Max Lucado sent me a copy of his book, You'll Get Through This. But Philip and I had a conversation one day, and he said, you need to go look at Jeremiah, go look at Lamentations, go look at Jonah, go look at some of the Psalms, and just tell God what you're going through and pray through the pain, but stay close to the Father. Stay close to the physician who can help you. And that, I didn't know it, and Philip didn't give me the word lament, but he put me in Lamentations, and it changed my whole life because I learned how to bring my doubts and my frustrations and my fears to God in a way that still honored him and still held me close to the only hope that I had of making it through that time. And that language of learning how to pray through the hard things without walking away from the one person who can help, Jesus, really saved me and helped me help my family and hold my wife close in those times and my children. And we made it through. And really learning all of that really is where the idea of starting this podcast and the newsletter and all those things came from. So just learn how to lament. Learn how to turn away from the pain and towards the physician, towards the provider, towards the healer, and say, God, how long? Why do we have to go through this? Help me understand this. This is really hard. I believe you. I trust you, but I don't understand. So turn away from the problem and towards the provider and complain. Go ahead and let him have it. I mean, you know, Jeremiah said, I would speak to you about your justice, God. Ask him then, why won't you fix this? When will you fix this? How can you fix this? How can you help me get through this? And then just trust him that he will. The model is so simple. Turn, complain, ask, and trust. It's a great partner to the Axe model. It's another toolkit. It's another set of things, another set of arrows you can shoot at these problems when you don't know how to pray. When you pray for somebody with a head injury like Alec and you don't know what to say even. You don't even know where to start. Use lament to work through that process. And it'll be helpful to you. Just trust me. Take a prescription from the doctor and go get this book, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. It will help you learn how to lament. Look, I hope this episode was helpful to you, friend. Learning to lament is a game changer in your prayer life. Go grab a copy of the book. It will help, I promise. When you don't know how to pray, just turn to God. Let him hear your complaints. Ask him to help. Trust that he's working to do what's best. And learn to lament, because rehearsing truth is where you find hope, but you have to start today. Hey, thanks for listening. The Dr. Lee Warren Podcast is listener supported. Check out patreon.podbean.com/Dr. Lee Warren. Patrons and partners get free books, transcripts, special patron-only episodes, and more. There's a new patron episode coming out today, and partners like you allow us to stay ad-free and keep growing. Hey, please subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts so you automatically get every episode, and share it with your friends. Tap those three dots on your app and share it with your friends. If you've got a friend who's going through something hard, send them Mark's book, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, or send them this episode. Maybe it'll help. Go to my website, wwarnmd.com/prayer, to join us in prayer. If you've got something you need to be prayed for about, or if you're willing to join us as prayer partners, we have a community of people all over the world praying with and for each other. You can post anonymously or with your name, or you can just get on there and pray. It will center you. It will help you. wwarnmd.com/prayer. Check it out. The theme music for the show is Water into Wine by Tommy Walker, graciously provided for free by Tommy and the great people who are changing the world at Tommy Walker Ministries. Get the music for free, including their new album, Highest Praises, which is an amazing worship journey. And consider supporting Tommy's great work at TommyWalkerMinistries.org. TommyWalkerMinistries.org. Don't forget to pray. WD1MD.com/prayer. Here's Tommy. I love that lick. Remember, friend, you can't change your life until you change your mind. I got to go feed some dogs. They're starting to wrestle around out there. It's time to go. You got to start today, though. I'm Dr. Lee Warren, and I will talk to you soon. God bless you, friend. Have a great day.